Instead of your regular lecture, we'll have a look at a new project in Calcutta, the Bhaktivedanta Research Center, which, as you can see here, is a complete Vaishnav literary resource and also a Vedic cosmology library. So this is a fairly long presentation when I normally do it, because today we don't have a lot of time. Excuse me if I go a little quickly, but you'll still get the general idea. So in 1976, Srila Prabhupada came back to Bombay after his last world tour. He spoke with Giriraj, at that time was a Prabhu, now he's a Maharaj, of course. And he instructed that in the new Juhu Beach temple, he wanted to have a first-class library where scholars could come and study Vaishnavism and become convinced of the philosophy and become devotees. So he said it should have all his own books, all those of the Acharyas, that's our Acharyas, including Madhva, Ramanuja, etc., and also all the Upanishads and bona fide Vedic texts. So they never did that. So when we started this project, I thought it would be a good opportunity to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire. So this is our building. It was donated to ISKCON in 2000, Bhaktivedanta Research Center. It's actually 5 stories high. We just recently renovated it and did this granite cladding on the front there. The project was the product of discussions I had with Pranava Prabhu. Pranava is a professor at Stockholm University. He's fluent in 7 languages. He had a plan for an institute for Vaishnava studies. He was doing his PhD on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and in fact that was published by Oxford University Press. They were very impressed with it. Modern Hindu Personalism. If you don't have this book, I would advise you to get it. It's an excellent work. That's his thesis on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So the two of us combined together to make this project. It was opened June 30th, 2009, so that's just on 5 years ago. Jayapataka Maharaj, Bhakti Chiru Maharaj, and this is Mr. Shyam Sukha, who's the donor of the building, and he still lives in it also. This is what we started with. We had to gut this whole place, replace the windows, the electricity, all the woodwork, etc., etc. After 6 months of hard work, this is what we ended up with. So this is our library. You can get about 15 or 16,000 books in there. It's fully air-conditioned and computerized. This year we added some study partitions for students, secure rare book section, and some display cabinets. And we also bought this moving rack, which in the West can cost up to $20,000. We got this for $2,000 in Calcutta. So it moves up and down on rails. You can close it up and lock it, or you can open it up, so it's very useful. We began with 4,000 titles. Current catalog, it looks like it's going to end up at around 20,000. Plus we have a digital manuscript library of about 1,000 now. The core of the collection was the personal collection of Sundarananda Vidyavinod. This is him as a young man. This is him as a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was a Sanskrit professor, and he was the custodian of the library at the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math, which you could say was practically the personal library of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. After the breakup of the Gaudiya Math, he removed the entire library to his house. It remained there for 70 years, and then it was given to His Holiness Bodhayan Swami from the Gopinath Gaudiya Math. He's a friend of ours, and he handed the entire collection to the library for safekeeping. So we're working closely with him. We'll have a look at a few of the rarer items. There's about 350 items that we consider to be very rare. This is an original print of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is the first English book about Lord Chaitanya, which was sent to Western universities. And you can see there, 1896, which was the year of Prabhupada's birth. So this is an original print of that. This is an original photograph of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. In fact, it's the only photograph of him. You can see his finger in his bead bag there. He was about 120 years old when this photo was taken. This is one of the most important sections in Sundarananda's collection. Every single periodical that was published by the Gaudiya Mat was carefully saved and put into, bound up into volumes. There was a daily Nadia Prakash, the bi-weekly Gaudiya, monthly Sajjan Toshini. The Harmonist was the English version of that, and the Bhagwat was their Hindi periodical. So as good publishers, they were very prolific, and they saved copies of every single issue. So here you have all the Harmonists from 1927 through to 1937. Very important literature, because it's not just philosophical stuff, but it's also news items. If you read through all these volumes, you'll get a weekly or monthly look at the expansion of the preaching under Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati for at least 10 or 12 years. This is the Nadia Prakash. It was a daily newspaper. Interesting format. Two pages were spiritual news and philosophical articles. The other two pages was just mundane news that they were getting from the local news feed, so that people thought they were buying a regular daily newspaper, but they were actually buying a spiritual newspaper. And as I say about the news items, there you see Bon Maharaj. He was the one that led the party of three to London in 1933. So you get all the news of the expansion of the preaching work in the pages of the Nadia Prakash. This is the Hindi Bhagwat from 1931. Then apart from those periodicals, we found some really interesting documents. This book, the last third of it, was all blank pages with newspaper clippings stuck in. That says thoughts on popular topics by, or occasional notes by, Babu Kedarnath Dutt. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he was the deputy collector and magistrate in Jagannath Puri. So he was writing original poems and articles and having them published in the local newspaper. This is the famous verse, he reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. Vaishnavas die to live and living try to spread a holy life around. This is the first known publication of this poem. We always put holy name there, but the first published edition said holy life. All the articles were signed, Asharagrahi Vaishnav, that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This one's dated Puri, the 29th of August, 1871. It's over 140 years ago. This is another famous poem. It says, original poetry, reflections, alas for those that spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling deadly liquid forms their hearts for air employ. It's about the drunkards and how they can be saved by Krishna consciousness. This is a stanza composed and written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is his handwriting. It was a prelude to this astrological calculation of the birth chart of his son Lalit Prasad. You can see all the different periods marked there. Bhaktivinoda learnt astrology when he was 12 years old. So it wasn't just his son Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, but he also was an astrologer. This is a letter home that he sent, short one. That's Bhaktivinoda's signature in Bengali script there. And this is a piece of a manuscript that he'd been writing. This one was kept aside by Sundarananda. And from this verifiable example of his handwriting, we were able to check all the others. This is one of the most important things that we found. Everybody knows that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a brilliant poet, and he wrote many songs glorifying Krishna, especially the Sharanagati series. This is the entire Sharanagati series, handwritten by the author in one book. You can see there. Very, very valuable, priceless book. Also, he was printing lots of things. This is his commentary, original print of commentary on the Gita. This is the Padma Purana, which was a Sanskrit work with about six or seven different commentaries along with the verses. And then apart from Bhaktivinoda, we also last year found some samples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's handwriting. This little folder had about 50 sheets in it. And these are actually draft articles and letters that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati sent to Sundarananda, because Sundarananda was the editor of the Gaudiya. So these were being printed. Now it says the Gaudiya printing works there. When they got the Bag Bazar Mutt in North Calcutta donated, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati installed a printing press directly in front of the deities so that they could enjoy seeing all the transcendental literature that was being produced. That was the Gaudiya printing works. And here you see this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's signature, and we'll have a closer look at that. It says, Nitya Ashravadaka Siddhanta Saraswati. Nitya Ashravadaka means, Nitya means eternal, Ashravad means blessings, and Ashravadaka means I am giving you eternal blessings. In other words, when Prabhupada signed his letters, your ever well wisher, it was a direct translation of Nitya Ashravadaka that was used by his spiritual master. This is a list of academically qualified disciples who were going to start the Thakur Bhaktivinoda Research Institute. That's the school that is right next door to Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. Nowadays it's a mundane school. It was taken over by the government, but it was intended to be a Vaishnava theological college. So anybody that had a degree, MA, BA, they were listed down as members and teachers and secretary, etc. So we hope to revive this idea of a Vaishnava Theological Research Institute in Mayapur in the coming next couple of years. This is an original print of the biography, Saraswati Jayashri. This is from 1934. It's in Bengali. There was going to be a series of about five books, but only the first one ever came out. However, we found in the collection what was going to be the second volume, but it was never published. It was rough printed, and some corrections are there. That's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's natal chart, and this is more like an autobiography. It's 135 pages of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati recalling his experiences growing up as the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that's being translated as I speak, and that two-volume set will be out next year in English. This very important document, it says, the last wishes of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, 31st of December 1936 at 10:30 a.m. This is the last will of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, about 18 hours before he left the planet. It's witnessed by four or five disciples at the bottom. Interestingly, it's written in English. And the second one says, form a governing body of 10 to 12 persons for management of the mission's work. This is the instruction Prabhupada said, the disobedience of which led to the breakup of the Gaudiya Mutt. So this is why we have a governing body, because it was the desire of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Apart from his spiritual writings, in his early years as a publisher, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was publishing this periodical, Jyoti Avid. It's an astronomical work. This will give us a lot of insights as to how to present Vedic cosmology in Mayapur. This is one of the original Vaishnav calendars or almanacs, the Gaudiya Panjika. You can see the devotees there on the road. That building there was the original building where they started preaching from in about 1919. That's the building where Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati on the roof in 1922. It now belongs to ISKCON. This is the first book that he ever wrote, which was not astronomical or astrological. Bhangai Samagikata means this, Social Life of Bengal. So this is an original print from 1899. You can see the condition there. We got these books just in time. This is very interesting map of Nadia from 1917, which is the year that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took sannyas. Look at that. There is Navadvipa at the bottom. This is the Ganges. This is the Jalangi. This is Mahesh Ganj and Swarup Ganj, where Bhaktivinoda was living. And here you see Mayapur Bill. Mayapur is the old spelling of Mayapur, C-M-I-A. And about here, there's the birth site of Lord Chaitanya. From his house across the river, Bhaktivinoda Thakur could look across to there. And he saw a transcendental city on two occasions. And that happens to be in exactly this space, which is occupied by ISKCON nowadays. Of course, if you did this map nowadays, it's completely chock-a-block with buildings. This is a tutor, Prabhu. He's from Italy, but he's lived in Calcutta for about 30 years. He's our English language librarian. He has a personal collection of 16,000 books. So we're negotiating with him to get that collection. In the meantime, we put them on our shelves. And a few things that he's got. A section on Vedic sciences and mathematics, Jagannath Puri, Kirtan, 420 commentaries on Vedanta Sutra, 200 plus versions of Bhagavad Gita, anything that he saw to do with Vedic culture or Indian religions or culture, he's bought. So he's got a lot of stuff there, very important reference materials for any scholars. Here's a few examples. This is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. This was written by Nishikant Sanyal on the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who put a foreword in there. This is an English language exposition of the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This was published in 1933. Immediately this was published, only then did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati allow his men to leave for London to begin the outreach preaching. Very important book. This year is 2014, which is 100 years since the disappearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This little booklet here was published in 1916 by a special memorial committee to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is a book published by the University of Calcutta, Vaishnav Literature of Medieval Bengal. Very important reference material for people that are researching about Vaishnava literature. This is an 1885 print of Chaitanya Chandradaya by Kavi Karnapura, who's a famous Vaishnava poet. And this is a very interesting article item. This is the first English translation that was put into print of the Bhagavad Gita. It was done by Charles Wilkins. He was one of the first scholars to discover the importance of Indian literature or Vedic literature. This was translated and published in 1785. This is the version of the Gita that the American transcendentalists, Whitman, Thoreau, etc., were reading. So a tutor found this particular print. This is a third print from 1845. It was in a second-hand bookstore rotting away on the shelves. This is part of the collected works of Sir William Jones. William Jones was the co-founder of the Asiatic Society. He was fluent in 14 languages. He could speak 26 others. And he was the one who said that Sanskrit is the mother tongue of all other languages. Very important person. Because he said a lot of negative things as well, but we won't go into that. So that's a few things from a tutor's collection. Last year I asked Jnanivas Prabhu to open up the almirah in Prabhupada's bedroom in Mayapur. We found 20 postcards addressed to Srila Prabhupada from 1950. Abhay Charanaravindo, Bhaktivedanta. So he was using that title in 49-50. 6 Sitakanta Banerjee Lane, Calcutta. So these are requests, I think, for various copies of the Back to Godhead magazine. This is a most excellent letter for any Sankirtan devotee. I'm going to read this. This is from the governor's office of Bihar, 1950. It says, His Excellency, the governor will be glad to see you, but he'll have no talk with you about the publication of your books, and he cannot give you any help in that respect. Also, it will not be possible for His Excellency to approach any publishers, nor can he give any financial assistance. In these circumstances, it's not worth for you to come and incur the expenditure of coming to Patna, but if you still want to see His Excellency, let me know and we'll fix a date and time. You are also advised not to send manuscripts to His Excellency. So don't ask for any help, don't ask for any money, don't ask for any publisher, and don't even send your manuscripts, and by the way, don't even bother coming. What does Prabhupada do? He says, I have no intention to disturb His Excellency the Governor for some financial help in respect to publishing my works. I have to seek an interview with His Excellency on a cultural and peace mission only. So you could say that was the ultimate rejection letter, but still Prabhupada found some, you know, opportunity there to get in and meet the governor. And as soon as he did that, then he immediately sent a little note out to the local newspapers. Abhay Charanaravindo Bhaktivedanta, the editor of Back to Godhead Calcutta, has come to Patna on a cultural peace mission. And he'll see His Excellency on the 18th of January. So if some of you book distributors are having a hard time selling something, just keep this letter in your pocket and take it out and read it. That will inspire you. We also found an original copy of Back to Godhead with the famous Truth and Beauty article, plus the Bhagavad Darshan from 57 and 58. And this was given to us by a lawyer early this year. You see, it's signed by Prabhupada. This is a power of attorney to Tamal Krishna Goswami to go to Mayapur and buy the very first piece of land for ISKCON in Mayapur. This is from 12th of April, 1971. Very important document. Other things that we have, we've got Sataputta Prabhu's personal archive. That's Sataputta there. He was an original member of the Bhaktivedanta Institute, who you see here, meeting with Srila Prabhupada in Washington in 76. Sataputta was the one who wrote Vedic Cosmography and Astronomy, which cracked open the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam and actually convinced us that we could actually present what's there in our Mayapur temple. Unfortunately, Sataputta left us in 2008, but his widow allowed us to get his entire collection of books and archives, articles. 17 boxes were shipped from America. They are now on the shelves. We've started categorizing all of that. Plus, all of his works are available. We have a 250 gigabyte hard drive with all of Sataputta's stuff on there. Nishringananda from ITV saw me present this in Udupi 2 years ago. He got fired up, so he sent me his entire collection of Back to Godheads. So we have a lot of stuff. About 50%, we think, of Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's works are not translated into English. So we're starting this year an academic imprint and another one for general public and devotees. For the academics, the first thing that's coming out is this one and only copy of the personal diary of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It runs from 1904 to 1936. It was kept in Sundarananda's collection. Nobody knew anything about it. Even Bodhayan Maharaj didn't know anything about it. This has been translated, it's been edited, and it's been annotated, and it will be published in the coming year. Apart from that, we've been looking for manuscripts. We decided to do our little bit in preserving some of the Indian heritage of manuscripts. We've got about 1,000 photographed so far. We're also trying to link up with the National Mission for Manuscripts. That's the government department in Delhi. They give grants, and we're trying to get recognition as a manuscript resource center. That means they'll provide funding for us so we can go out and look for these. This is a tree-back manuscript about 200 or 250 years old. This is a palm leaf manuscript which was found floating in the Ganges with about 20 other such manuscripts. That's about 250 years old. And this is handmade paper. So these are the three main kinds. We've had a few given to us, but we're not really interested in accumulating the physical. We don't have the space for it, but we are photographing. Sundarananda had a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila in his collection. It's very, very delicate, but this is about 250 to 300 years old. Across the river from Mayapur in Navadvip, the Gauranga Talmandir has a box on the altar next to the deity of Lord Chaitanya. That box has a manuscript in it. This is Sudhin Goswami. He's one of our good friends. And in that manuscript, it's actually the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam written by Gadadhar Pandit. So he allowed us to photograph the entire manuscript. You'll see there's some little annotations here and there. And you can see more like here. There's one kind of handwriting in the middle, and the top and bottom line and the end are another kind of handwriting, which they claim is the actual handwriting of Lord Chaitanya. So he put some annotations on this Shastra. So apart from that, we sent the team to Bangladesh last year. We weren't able to do much due to political unrest, but they did go to Sylhet. Does anybody know what famous personality came from Sylhet? Jagannath Misra, thank you. Yes, Lord Chaitanya's father came from Sylhet. There's a private library that we found at Ishwarapatsal in Kumara. They have 9,000 manuscripts and 60,000 books. Here's the manuscripts. This is a library. They have no idea what's there. They have no catalog, no list. They have no money. Their management committee's not doing anything. They're afraid to ask for money from the government because they think the Muslims will come and burn the place down. So they're asking us to go there and do all the cataloging for these manuscripts. It's a huge job. But if we can do it, there's a good chance we'll find some very rare Vaishnav manuscripts mixed in with all the other stuff. These are not all Vaishnav manuscripts. There's lots of legal documents, property ownership documents and records, Nyaya, Sahajiya, Shakta. There's all kinds of literature. But we have to try to find all the bona fide Vaishnav texts. Anyway, so that's just one place. In Orissa, same story. There's another library we found there, 17,000 manuscripts. It's still clean and neat, but they have no money and they don't know what to do, how to continue, you know, with their preservation of these documents. So we're also talking with them. But this is typical for India. Navadvip Town Library used to be the Edward V Anglo-Sanskrit Library from 1907. Scholars used to go here because they had a famous collection of manuscripts. Now nobody goes. They don't even want to know about the manuscripts. They keep them locked up in cupboards so that they can rot away. And so again, they've asked us to come and do the cataloging on those. And this is what happens if you don't look after your valuable documents. They just frazzle out. So this is a public library. And this is how they keep their manuscripts. Now, apart from the libraries, there's a lot of private collections. Early this year, we were approached by Swarup Mitra. You can see Krishna Chetra and Pranava Prabhus were there. He's from a very aristocratic family. And he heard about the work that we were doing from his relative in America, who heard about it from Pradyumna Prabhu. So she rang him up and said, hey, there's a library in Calcutta. They're doing this kind of preservation work. So he came to see us. He liked what we were doing, invited us to come and see his place. They have a thick book with their own genealogy. They're, as I say, an important family. They've got their own genealogy there. Their ancestor that first came to Calcutta was Rajapitamba Mitra. He was from Ayodhya. 250 years ago, he was driven out. He went to Mathura. He was driven out from there. He came to Calcutta. One of his descendants is Rajendra Lal Mitra, who was the first Indian president of the Asiatic Society and their librarian for about 30 years. So these people know the value of literature. So this is their joint family home. It's over 200 years old. It's old colonial style there. Now only the mother lives there. Mother actually happens to be a disciple of Bon Maharaj. And they have their own temple. They have about 4 or 5 acres of land in North Calcutta. And they have this temple, and it is a temple of Rivati Balaram. And these deities were brought from Ayodhya to over 250 years ago. They have big festivals. They still look after them very nicely. And they have lots of Vaishnav literature, which they don't know what to do with. So they're just bundled up and kept on shelves, gathering dust. So when they heard what we were doing, they were very happy. And they invited us to come and at least scan all of their documents, which we've now done. There was about 80 manuscripts. And they have another library nearby. So we may get access to that library as well when I return in a few weeks. Another family that gave us their collection, the Mishra family from Vrindavan. This gentleman sent his two daughters to our Mayapur school because he wanted them to be educated in good English and, you know, in the international school. So he had a private collection in Vrindavan. I met him in February. In April, just before I left on my tour, somebody came to the door with a box. And in the box, there was about 8 or 9 manuscripts. This is a painting of Panchatattva. Since you have Panchatattva here, this is about 200 years old. And in those manuscripts, there was some really important stuff. This is the Adikanda of the Chaitanya Charitamrita from 250 years ago. They also had a complete copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita from 1760. You can see the condition of the paper there. Of course, you know, this is over 250, 60 years old, but the paper is still fairly well intact. The handmade paper was not made with, you know, different chemicals, so it lasts a lot longer. But anyway, you can see. They had the manuscripts. They don't know what to do with them. So they gave them to us to preserve. So we're very happy about that. Talking about Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took several years before he could locate a complete version of it. So last year, we had a bit of a big breakthrough in Biyanaga, the birthplace of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a 5-acre property. It's called Dwadasa Mandir, which means the 12 temples. It was founded by Ishwarachandra Mitra, who was the maternal great-grandfather of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He built a Durga temple, which you see here. This has now been converted into a Radha Madhava temple. And then along with that, there were 10 Shiva temples with Shiva lingams about 0.5 meter high. Those Shiva lingams were all sent to Shantipur, except for one, and he's been kept and worshipped as Gopeshwar Mahadev, protector of the Dham. And then the 12th temple was this Kali temple. That now has been renovated this year. It's, as you can see, next to the other temples, and they're going to install Lord Jagannath in there. So this property was the actual birth site of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he showed Lalit Prasad the exact spot where he was born. So they built this small temple here, and then this veranda was added about 10 years ago. So you see the picture of Bhaktivinoda there inside that little shrine. So when Prabhupada came to India, he went in 72 to see Lalit Prasad. This is Lalit Prasad when he was 92 years old. There's Gurudas and Shyamasunda. And Prabhupada wanted them to lease us a section of land so that we could build an ISKCON center there. 2 days after that picture was taken, he sent this letter. He said, now you can expedite the lease immediately. I want to advise my assistants to take the work seriously and begin construction. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. Prabhupada went back again in 76. I was with him on that trip. Again, the same discussion and again, the same result. So nothing happened for about 40 odd years. However, in 72, Achyutananda was poking around and he found a series of original manuscripts of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He told Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada immediately told Yadabhara to go to Biyanaga to photograph all the manuscripts page by page very completely before it is too late. They should be preserved for future generations of Vaishnavas to see the actual handwriting and words of such great saintly persons. Treat this matter very seriously and thoroughly. Take all precautions to protect this wonderful boon of literature forever. And then again, these items are very, very priceless, a great treasure house of Vaishnava lore. Take all precautions to guard them. This is a very, very important work. So Yadabhara actually did go there. He spent 1 week in 72. He photographed quite a few of the literatures that they had. This is a sample of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing again. But they didn't give him access to most of the literature, and after 1 week he left and never went back. The photographs that he did take were sent to the BBT and then onto the archives, and last year they finally digitized all those photographs, so we have all of that. So I accidentally came across this exchange of letters about this collection. I was looking for something else. So I was kind of interested because I'd been to Biyanaga in 76 with Prabhupada and nothing's been done since then. So last year, 41 years later, I went there again. I met the head man, Bamsi Das Babaji. We'd been told that the people in Biyanaga were not ISKCON friendly, but when I went there, it was quite the opposite. He was very happy to see me, took me around the whole project. At the end of it, I mentioned that I heard you have some original writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Could I see something? So after a half a second's pause, he said, okay, yes. So he came back with this book. This turned out to be a handwritten copy of the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You can see he's put some notes there and some crossings out. So I pointed out to him that this literature is breaking up and in 30 or 40 years' time, you might not have much left. So he said, yes, I know we should do something. So I said, look, we have a nice library in Calcutta. We would like to offer our services to help you preserve this literature. So why don't you come and see what we're doing? So he said, yeah, I'll come. So I didn't wait for him to make his own mind up. I sent a taxi 2 days later. We picked him up. We brought him to the library. The first thing we did was show him the photos of, he's a disciple of Lalit Prasad. So we showed him the photos of Prabhupada talking with Lalit Prasad Thakur. He'd never seen them before himself. We showed him the rest of the library. He liked it so much. After Gopunima went back, we met with his committee. I showed them a similar slideshow to what you're seeing now. They became so impressed that they signed an agreement with us on the spot. I had it printed out and signed by myself just in case, you know, they became favorable. I was thinking they'd probably take a couple of months to discuss amongst themselves. Maybe they want some money or this or that. Actually, they were very nice. As soon as they saw what we were doing, they said, yes, let's do it. So we signed an agreement that said that we could catalog everything. Then we could bring it all to Calcutta and scan it. Then we would preserve it by deacidifying, etc. And then we would return the originals to Biyanaga and help them set up a display. So that we're in the process of doing. We got from Biyanaga 181 different works, various books, manuscripts, and letters. Some real surprise stuff in here as well, as you'll see. Especially this one. This is a letter to Lalit Prasad Thakur from Srila Prabhupada, sent from Moscow on June the 21st, 1971. Nobody had ever seen this before because, of course, it was handwritten. There was no carbon copies. So Lalit Prasad, luckily or fortunately, kept this very carefully, and so we got access to this from their collection. Very interesting letter. He says, I'm staying in room 356 with two American disciples. The preaching will be Vedic conception of communism, knowledge derived from authoritative tradition, and scientific classless society. Now, with your blessing in this severely atheistic country, the teachings of Mahaprabhu will be preached. Then he goes on to say, a few boys of this place have become very much impressed after listening to our Harinam. They want to join us, but the laws of this country are so tough they cannot go against them. That, of course, was Ananta Shanti Prabhu. In 3 days, Prabhupada taught him the philosophy. They taught him how to cook, vegetarian, and he initiated him. And then he started preaching, and as they say, the rest is history. We now have thousands of devotees in Russia due to the efforts initially of Ananta Shanti. Ananta Shanti died last year, and they built a nice little samadhi for him in Vrindavan. Anyway, this is the original letter from Moscow. Other things we found, an unpublished work by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Rasa Rasodaya. Somebody decided to try to laminate it in plastic. They used the wrong plastic. It shrank, and it's, as you can see, they're destroying the original work. So one of our jobs now is to try to take that plastic off and preserve whatever is left. This was the most important of the items that we got from Birnaga. This is the actual handwritten autobiography of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You can see again the damage from the bugs. We're lucky we got this whilst it was still intact. That's his signature, Kedarnath Dutt, Bhaktivinoda, 16th of February, 1895. And he put his picture in there and signed it again the following year. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his own words. This is his natal chart. And then 250 pages of him writing about himself. Very wonderful literature. In reciprocation, because they didn't ask us for anything, they said, yes, just take the literature and preserve it. So we, to encourage them, gave them some funds last year, or this year. This was taken just before I left at the end of May, so that they could build a new prasadam hall and other facilities for guests at Birnaga. And we've also started this year for the first time, we took a parikrama party to Birnaga as part of the Mayapur Festival. So we have a nice relationship with them. We hope that will develop more. So with all these old things, we have to preserve them. We've got scanning, lamination or encapsulation, and engraving. Scanning, of course, is necessary. This is what happens if you don't preserve anything. The paper becomes very brittle. It's attacked by humidity, heat, acid, and all kinds of things. These are scraps left over from the Nadia Prakash. So the Nadia Prakash was the first thing that we scanned. We got this scanner 2 years ago. This is a professional library scanner. It cost $27,000. But the advantage is that you can put old books in the cradle without damaging them. And then the scanner's in the top, not the bottom. And then it will do, in 3 seconds, 2 pages. You can do thousands of pages every day with this kind of scanner. So this is Ashish. He's our scan man. And he started work on the Nadia Prakash. There was 31 volumes. We had to strip off the binding. Each page was scanned on each side. It took 11 months, 40,000 images. And then after that, each page was deacidified, and then we laminated them on each side with this acid-free paper. And then after that, we indexed everything, and then we rebound everything into 60 volumes. That's just the Nadia Prakash. So you can see the scale of the work that we're dealing with when we talk about scanning and preservation. We got 20,000 books in there that need to be done. The Gaudia was the next one that we did. Again, you can see what happens, all the bugs coming in and eating everything. That's also been scanned and laminated and rebound. Then engraving. Up until the beginning of this year, we were considering using a simple method, locally done. You take a digital image, you clean it up, you print it out on paper, you make a photographic negative, then you put some chemical on a zinc metal sheet, then you put the negative on top and put it in the sunshine. Here you see the clear patches is the handwriting and the dark patches is the surround. So the sun shines through the clear patch, neutralizes the chemical, and then the rest of the metal sheet, of course, gets burnt into by the chemical. You wash it off after some time and you end up with a metal plate reproduction of an original manuscript. So this is a very good way of preserving manuscripts beyond the life of the original and preserving the exact handwriting. However, I was in America a month ago. Somebody showed me this machine, a VersaLaser. This is a digital engraving machine. There's another sample there. There's different standards that you can buy. This is what it does. This piece of glass was cut by that engraver and then engraved. So this is burnt into the glass. And this is a wooden plaque. This image was burnt into the wooden plaque by that engraver. This is metal. Yeah, frying pan, because we're not doing frying pans, but we're doing manuscripts. And this is marble. So they burn the image into the marble, and then somebody comes along who's a good artist, and they paint the colors in. So that machine now, this is paper. This paper box was actually, the whole thing was cut first and then printed by the same machine. So I just received a very large donation to buy one of these machines. And as soon as I get back to India, that's going to be added to our equipment. Visitors, this is Binodananda Das. He is the youngest son of Sundarananda Vijayavinod. He's 86. He was given his name personally by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He's the one that handed over the entire Sundarananda collection to the Gopinath Gaudiya mat, and then it came to us. This is one of the Babaji's from there who helped us with that. So he came to the library. We showed him what we were doing. We showed him how we're looking after his father's collection. He was very happy. He said, "They keep my father's collection very nice way. I like very much." And when he wrote this, he said, "Now I can go home and sleep peacefully." Nice man. This is Pradyumna Prabhu Prabhupada's eternal servant and Sanskrit editor. He's been helping us. He's now thinking about moving from New York and coming and living with us in Calcutta. There's nobody on the planet that knows more about Gaudiya Vaishnava literature than Pradyumna. He's got a phenomenal knowledge. Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji, when he came and visited, we showed him a few of the artifacts that we have. This is 14 scholars, or some of them, from Ukraine. They came for a quick visit to see what we're doing. Rebecca Manring is considered to be the leading authority on Gaudiya Vaishnavism in the secular world in America. She was mentoring an advanced Bengali course, which Pranava was taking in Calcutta, so he invited her over. Again, she was not supposed to be favorable to ISKCON, but when she came, she said, "This is so sweet." She was really rapt. She really liked it. Lucien Wong is doing his PhD on Bhaktivinoda Thakur at Oxford University. He spent a month last year and 6 weeks the year before at the library. And Anthony Foley is doing also his PhD on Bhaktivinoda. He just spent 1 month with us as well. Ruby Sain is from Jadavpur University in Calcutta. She's a professor of sociology. She's been working for 4 years with Pranava to introduce a sociology of religions course, which has never been apparently done before in India. So she just got approval. She got 2 crores of rupees, which is about $400,000, to hire people to write the curriculums and get the whole thing set up. Pranava is writing most of the curriculum on Gaudiya Vaishnavism. All of this stuff we want to disseminate, we're not just keeping it in one place. So we have a website, brcindia.com, Bhaktivedanta Research Center. And we've got a full catalog of Sundarananda's works. That was about 2,300 items. Name, author, editor, year it was written, the script it was written in, the language it was written in, etc., etc. As we scan all of these items, the content will be linked up to the titles, and then you'll be able to just click on a title. Just like with the manuscript collection, we have all of those also cataloged, and you just click on a title, and then you get all the work, or the content of that particular work. So you can imagine, with the 40,000 images, the 40,000 images that we have of the Nadia Prakash, that all has to go onto the website. So we also, to facilitate scholars and students, we have about 6 nice guest rooms with Wi-Fi, air conditioning, attached baths, etc. So for the future, book acquisition is always going on. We're not just about old stuff. Any new works that come out, we try to get the authors to give us a couple of copies. The manuscript mission, even if we don't get funds from the government, we will continue with that. Scanning and preservation, as you've seen, that's many years' work going on there. The website will have to eventually host perhaps millions of images, so that's a big job keeping that up and running. I was told the National Mission for Manuscripts, run by the government, has over 9 million images, but they have not yet put them on their website. And then, of course, we have started a translation department and publications. The first thing that we'll do for the devotees is that Saraswati Jayashri, the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, along with that unpublished second volume, we're translating both of them. We're about halfway through at the moment. They'll be published in English next year in one volume. The core of the library eventually will be for the Mayapur Theological College. We've applied for 10 acres of land from the Mayapur managers. They've said that they've got about 7 acres that they'll let us have. Not confirmed yet, but we do want to start. Prabhupada was talking about a Mayapur University in 1975. So this is another ambition to fulfill for Srila Prabhupada, to start this theological college. And we're also, I just spoke with Shanaka Rishi in London a couple of weeks ago about becoming affiliated with the Oxford Center for Hindu Studies. That would be very prestigious. Oxford University, of course, everybody knows. And we're tying up with universities such as Jadavpur. So all of this has been run simply on donations. We have no source of income whatsoever. We rely on the goodwill of the devotees to come forward and help us. So we've got a membership program, 4 different kinds of members. The most important one is adopt a month. We have expenses of about $2,500 per month, which is not a lot. We want to get about 12 or 15 sponsors who will adopt 1 month per year. So like Bhakti Chiru Maharaj, he's adopted the month of January. Every year he gives, it's about 1,50,000 now. Saki Rai from Brisbane, Mahesh Adwani from Dubai, Bahrain Yatra, the MVT, Sydney, Bhaktivedanta Manor. So we need about another 6 individuals or yatras to adopt the rest of the months. Then we've got the whole basic running costs covered. For those that want to give something but don't have a lot, we have a $1 a day or a $2 a day gift program. That's the Nitya Savex. We have a yearly membership of $501 per annum. And we have a patron membership, which is a single donation of $10,000 or above. Bhakti Thiru Maharaj, again, was the first one to step forward with that. He happens to have been born about a mile away from our building. And this is the area of Calcutta where he was brought up. So he's a good supporter. Akrura Prabhu from Vancouver is another one. Mahesh Hadwani's from Dubai. He's another one. Mr. Tooley's from Melbourne. He's another one. Pratapana and Jayashree gave $10,000 to help purchase the scanning machine. They're from Sydney. Madhu Savita Prabhu from Scotland, his father died, left him some money. Jananda Maharaj advised him to give something for the library. So out of the blue, he sent us £16,000. And just this week, Raghunath Priya Prabhu from Bratislava, he just became our sixth patron member. Eventually, we want to set up an endowment fund. That means you put money in the bank. You don't spend the principal, but only the interest that it generates. In India, you can get 9.3%. So if we get a crore of rupees, about $200,000 in the bank, that will give us about 80,000 rupees a month, which would cover the basic running costs. So that's our program. That's our plan. Again, you can see what we're doing on brcindia.com. Although that is being gradually upgraded. We have a PayPal, Lotus Imprints, with the address, the email address, harrysori@gmail.com. I'm also on Pam Ho as well. So that's it. That's the Bhaktivedanta Research Center up to date. I hope that you've all enjoyed seeing that. And if any of you were coming through to Mayapur, make sure that you add an extra day so that you can come into Calcutta and you can come and stay at the library. We have the guest rooms and you can see all this transcendental literature. This is a program. It's unique in ISKCON. In fact, it's unique in the Gaudiya Vaishnavas practically. So we need support. We want to share what we have with as many people as possible. So you're all invited. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.